Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Let's go to Steve Cortez, senior advisor to Trump 2020 campaign. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show. Welcome to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Steve, the Spanish media, at least one of them, said that people there believe that President Trump won this debate, even though the win for me would have been nailing Biden, particularly on the racial questions. Did you see that? Is that true in their surveys? They believe Hispanic viewers thought Trump won the debate.
Yes. And by the way, you know, and this is Telemundo, right?
Yeah.
So number one, Spanish speaking media, they generally make CNN look fair and balanced. Okay. So this is a big deal. But number two, Spanish speaking Hispanic Americans generally are more liberal than primarily English speaking ones. So it's a group that leans a little bit more left. And yet in the Telemundo survey, 2/3 of them give their preference to Donald Trump. So this has been a trend that we've seen, where we saw in the last election. We really astounded the world when we won 29% of the Hispanic vote in 2016. We've been building on that ever since. Most surveys lately show us at least in the lower 40s. I suspect we're even higher than that, because I think there's a certain amount of reluctance among Hispanics to tell a complete stranger that they're for Trump. But this has been so far a real success story. Now we can't get complacent. We've got to see it on November 3rd. But I think Hispanic Americans are largely, you know, we are working class people. And this president has produced results for working class people of all colors, of all ethnicities. But Hispanics, who have been really taken for granted by the Democratic Party for decades, I believe are starting to wake up and realizing that the ideals of economic nationalism, of sovereignty for our country, safety in the streets, patriotism, pro-life, all of these issues are appealing to Hispanics. And Donald Trump drives the media crazy, of course, because they want to constantly deride him as a racist. Donald Trump has actually so far been the most successful president at reaching out to Hispanic Americans.
Okay. Now, with all due respect, I agree with you on that in spades tremendously. But, Steve, he did a great job, too, sparring with Biden early on the question of African-American voters, pointing out some of the stuff Biden's done versus him. He's making inroads, critical points here in Pennsylvania. But he left a tremendous amount on the table to go after Wallace, to go after Biden on Charlottesville and so-called critical race theory, Steve. I think people like Christie and others, the president has to have a specific example and slow down and drill on that. I don't think America knew why he got rid of critical race theory indoctrination after seeing that.
Sure. No, listen, on Charlottesville, I really do think that was unfortunately a missed opportunity. I think he'll get more. But, and this is an issue I care deeply about. I've written about it a lot. I did a PragerU video on this that got 6 million views. The president himself retweeted it. I've spoken with him about the issue. Both Chris Wallace and Joe Biden spread this pernicious lie. And it's just an absolute lie. The myth that the president praised neo-Nazis in Charlottesville. Quite the opposite. He explicitly condemned them. And yet this lie gets repeated ad nauseum. Joe Biden launched his campaign based on this lie, literally in his announcement speech. Unfortunately, both he and Wallace, and by the way, the president, I think, was debating two people last night. Chris Wallace was not a moderator. He was an opponent for the president. Both of them spread this lie, and they both have to know, by the way, that it is a lie. Chris Wallace is too sharp a guy to not know the reality of the president's statements on Charlottesville. The president got so caught up in other issues then in the response that he didn't actually directly addressed that, and I so wish he had. Having conceded that, I really will defend him hard on critical race theory. No, I think he made the exact right calls. We are not going to pay for people to come in and tell us that our country is corrupt and that our country is evil. And that it was
Wait a
founded,
minute. I differ with you, Steve. Okay, maybe we're getting into the weeds here. I get that. Saying that, I think it's a lot worse than that, though. And I would have been, you would have been too, Steve. I admire what you do on TV. What they're saying, if you're white, the guilt complex, the indoctrination. Yeah, it is the country, too. I would have added on to that. But I think you got to break through with Americans saying, I'm not going to make the average American under a Biden administration have to deal with this form of racism. Well, we have the perfect form of it with Amy Coney Barrett, this criticism because she rescued two children of color from Haiti.
Right. No, listen, that is a good point that it should have been further than just the country. I will agree with you there to also talk about the idea that you are, you know, guilty of being white. Right. That is an absurd
yes.
construct and one that we have to reject in this country. You know, I said on one of my shows recently, I can't remember which one I was on. I said some of these people who are dining outside, which is happening in a lot of cities, who are now, you know, being assaulted by Antifa and radical elements of BLM. They've committed the crime of eating outside while white. And that's ridiculous.
That is
right?
A beautiful line, Steve. That. Wait a minute. So let's stop and say, can I steal that? Yes, we'll take that.
Of course you can.
That's
without
an example.
Attribution.
Hey, Steve, you're sharp enough. You know this, too. And I'm sure there, Paul, when you're inside this, know this. There's something about even more than the fires and whatever of eating outside and a bunch of people coming up, haranguing you, particularly in the middle of the virus, taking your food, sitting down.
Right.
I know at a gut level, people tell me how that bothers them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, that is, though, unfortunately, where Joe Biden would take us as a country. I mean, he is emboldening the worst, most extreme elements of American politics. So often the left is projection, right? When they try to accuse us of coddling extremists, what they're actually doing is trying to cover for the fact that, for instance, corporate America has funneled hundreds of millions of dollars into BLM. And not all of it, but some of that money has gone into groups which are explicitly pro-violent. Which are anti-family, which are pro-Marxist. So these are, in many ways, the shock troops, the stormtroopers on the streets of the Democratic Party. And I think we have to be real about that. And I think when people see, thank goodness for cell phones and cameras, because when people see these videos of people minding their own business, having dinner, and again, committing the crime of being, you know, eating outside while white, according to some of these folks, if that deserves a bullhorn in the face, right, then that is not the kind of country that we can ever be in. That's not the kind of behavior we can ever tolerate. And Joe Biden will not. By the way, I thought the best moment of Trump for the debate, the best, was when he said, tell me the law enforcement organizations back.
Yes.
He could not name one because there is not a major one. There might be a couple tiny ones, but every major one in America, everyone has endorsed. Our campaign has endorsed President Trump. And that was a very strong moment. I think it was also strong because if you notice, he sort of waited, like he landed this powerful blow and then stepped back for a
yes.
moment. I think in the next two debates, we need to see a little more of that. That will be my suggestion.
Exactly.
Bit more of, yeah.
Slow it down and do it. And but you know what it exposed to? Biden is ill-equipped many times to just kill that moment. You know, the experienced politician would have answered something and moved on, taken away. He wouldn't have non-answered there. It was a powerful moment. That's exactly true. That was the best part of the debate. Steve, the other thing I liked that President Trump did, though, in the areas where we know there was going to be a lot from Wallace and Biden, the taxes and also the virus. I thought he did a pretty good job of getting the conversation on the virus to China and sticking on that message.
Yes.
And that was very hard to impugn. And on taxation,
right.
I think he took apart the whole thing. It just didn't seem in that moment to me, I don't know what the polling's going to say, but it didn't seem to be a big deal, that big of a deal coming out of that.
Right. No, I agree. By the way, and I thought that was critical on China because, look, it's just human nature. We want to blame someone, right, when something terrible happens. And this has been terrible, this coronavirus. It's been a terrible global tragedy.
Right.
And unfortunately, though, there's also an instinct to blame, well, who's in power here? Well, I'm going to blame him. It's Trump's fault. It's obviously not Trump's fault. It's not Joe Biden's fault. It's the fault of the Chinese Communist Party. They knew they had human-to-human transmission. They lied. They deceived the world. And through their malfeasance, they infected the globe and they crashed the international economy. They are to blame. But why is that important? Not just because we need to blame somebody, but because China has been, even before this virus, has been abusing America for decades, largely with the complicity of Joe Biden. That's why this is very much, ties very directly into this decision from November 3rd. Donald Trump is the first American leader to truly stand up against China. We already knew it was an economic and national security threat. Now we also know it's a health threat to the United States. And so that I hope that that will crystallize voters' minds about how important that issue is. Whatever suffering you have endured, and I know there's been a lot of it, economically, health-wise, whatever, psychologically, because of this virus, remember who did this to you and remember who stands up against that regime and who will acquiesce to them. That's part, a critical part of this choice for November.
Steve, thank you very much. Great analysis. A pleasure having you today. Please come back soon.
Please. Thank you.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.